Okay, so now we call all the children to come up. Come up. Children, come up. Yeah, they'll come. Good morning.
Good morning.
Do y'all know why y'all dressed up so beautiful this morning? Today, uh-oh. Somebody don't like this idea. All right. So today is what? Can anybody spell Easter? All right, so you spell Easter since you the gentleman here.
E-A-S-T-E-R.
That's, you all agree with him? Great, wonderful. So now let's talk about Easter today. Did you all do the Easter egg hunt yesterday?
No,
you didn't get a chance to do that. Why? You wasn't able to. Okay. Well, did you do that? You got enough eggs? Great. So let's talk about Easter, right? And let's talk about the word Easter this morning, all right? And we're going to use every letter in the word Easter to explain what this means to us. It's not only about, you know, hunting eggs during the time of Easter, but it's bigger than that. And we want to talk about this big thing, the reason why we gather in church this morning. So let's look at each letter in the word Easter. The first letter is what? E. Here it is. All right? And the letter E for this morning represents empty hearts. And the reason why it represents empty hearts is because when God created us in the beginning, his plan was that man would fellowship with him. And so God gave us his love, his grace, his mercy, and he filled our hearts with his love. And we felt Adam and Eve fellowshiped with him in the Garden of Eden. And so when we disobeyed God and did what he told us not to do, then God's love left our hearts. And our hearts became empty. And so men walked away from God and had no relationship with him after this. All right? So that's what the E stands for, empty heart. Then we have the next letter, which is what? A. Next letter, A, is the word answer. And what that says is Jesus is the answer. God didn't leave us alone. God was very upset with the devil for letting Adam and Eve eat from that tree, but then also God was sad for us. And so he didn't leave us alone. He went and made a way by allowing his son to come into this world. How many of you know John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, right? Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So the A in Easter is for the answer. And so God sent Jesus as the answer. The S, which is the next letter, if I can get to it, S here represents what? Savior. So what? Jesus did not only come as the answer, but he came as the Savior for the world, to save the whole world from sin. It's the reason why Jesus came into this life. We needed God's salvation, and every person that has been born of a woman needs God's salvation. The Bible says we were born in sin. So the only way to become saved was to have a Savior. So that's why he sent Jesus to us. Let's look at the next letter, which is T. And the T here is a symbol of the cross, right? When Jesus got on the cross, his hands were stretched wide and his feet were nailed. And so this is a symbol of the cross that Jesus died on. Right over there is a beautiful cross with the flowers all on it and the light shining on it. See that cross? So it's the T here is a symbol of that cross. So the T in Easter is the symbol of the cross. Then we come back to another E in Easter. And this E represents what? The empty tomb. When Jesus died, they laid him in a tomb, right? Y'all heard that story, right? They put him in a tomb and they sealed the tomb. But then on Easter morning, the angel went there and removed the stone and rolled the stone away. You know why he moved the stone from there? Why did he move the stone? Well, you see, many people think that way, but it was not so that Jesus would come out. The reason he moved the stone was so that people would go in and see that the tomb was empty, because Jesus didn't have to come out through a door. With the new body that he had, he could go through the walls, enter any place at any time. Like right now, he's here with us while we are worshiping. So the reason they rolled the stone away was so that we could go in and see that he was not there, but that he was gone, and alive and well again. All right? That's what the E for. The last word, letter is R, which is what? Resurrection. And this is what we celebrate this morning. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and he has risen. And because Jesus lives, guess what? All of us will live too. All of us have eternal life with God. We will live with God forever and ever and ever. So that's the lesson this morning. As you celebrate Easter today, remember the word Easter and what it stands for. Thank you. God bless you. So the kids just got fed. Let's feed the grown-ups. The Lord be with you. So this morning, I bring to you grace, mercy, and peace on the celebration of the glorious resurrection of our Lord. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And we celebrate this. Today we gather once again in another celebration of the historic resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We celebrate this because since he did it, there has never been another man like him to rise from the dead. The last time I checked the records of some faith-based movements, here's what I found. Muhammad, Islamic religion, fell ill, suffering from head pain, and died in the arms of one of his wives, and he is still dead today. Sun Yung Moon, the Unification Church, died at the age of 92, and he is still dead today. Joseph Smith, the Latter-day Saints Church, was attacked and killed by a mob, and he is still dead today. The first Dalai Lama of the Buddhism, at age 84, he died and is still dead today. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Christianity, suffered on a Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. On the third day, he was risen and is still alive today and is alive forevermore. Give God a hand of praise for him. Many years ago, I had a friend who, in his amazement regarding my love for Jesus, asked me this question. What if all of this isn't true? And of course, after giving him a solid biblical rhetorical answer, I also asked him a rational question. And the question was, what if all of this is true? And of course, to this question, he bowed his head and sadly walked away. But today I want to dig up this old question posed to me by my friend long ago and have us ponder over it for a few minutes. As we gazed at the meaning of this glorious resurrection of our Lord, the question that we need to begin to think about this morning is, what if there was no resurrection? What if there was no resurrection? Where would the church stand? Where would the world stand this morning? So this is why we chose for a theme for today's message, Making the Case. Because I'm here to make a case to let us know why we celebrate a glorious day like this one. And in addressing this mind-boggling question, I would like us to take a look at our second reading this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in this passage is a letter from the Apostle Paul in the Corinthian church. Apparently, there were some members of the church in Corinth who doubted the power of the resurrection. And so, in an effort to awaken them to the importance of the resurrection, Paul paints a dismal picture of what it would be like if there had been no resurrection, but at the same time gives us a glorious defense of the hope we have in Jesus Christ. So if Jesus didn't rise from the death, or if Jesus didn't rise from death to life, the first thing he says here is we would have had no foundation. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 13 reads, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised." There were some folks, as I said earlier, who carried this idea that there was no resurrection, that when a person dies, life ceases and comes to an end at that given point. And many of you would agree with me that you have come across folks in this life who carry the same mindset, that life is about what we have today. There is only one life to live, and as you live it well. And the people who carry this kind of idea would do any kind of thing to survive in this life. They don't take any repercussions as far as faith is concerned, or good and evil. They don't choose. They don't rationalize. They don't care. They live their lives every day based on how they feel they ought to live it. They say there is one life to live. This is a lie from the pit of hell. And the reason Jesus came into our lives was for this one reason, and it is to dispel this notion that there is no life after this life. Here the apostle Paul establishes that if Jesus was not raised from the dead, then our faith would be just as good as that of others or other religions that I just named. Then our system of belief would be just as dead. We see this played out in the life of his disciples. They went back to doing what they were doing after Jesus was killed on the cross. And so in John 21, verse 3, the scripture tells us that Peter looked at the rest of the disciples, and after Jesus was laid to rest in the tomb, he says, "I'm going back fishing." The reason was because beyond the grave, he did not see anything called hope. And so the only thing that was good was to go back to do what I used to do before. And so he left and went back, and the rest of the disciples that were with him said, "We'll go with you too, because there is no hope after this." Because they saw how Jesus was killed on that cross. They witnessed the whole scene and saw the kind of agony and pain and sufferings he went through on the cross just to bring life and redemption to mankind. And after looking at the way he died and looking at what he went through and looking at it from a natural perspective, there was absolutely no way that they could have looked at what went on that cross and see a man that was going to come back to life. There was absolutely no way. So they went back to doing the things that they used to do because there was no foundation. There was nothing to establish on. And the only thing to do was to go back to do what they were used to doing. But we do have a foundation. It is what I come to make this case about this morning. Jesus spoke this truth in Luke 6, 47 and 48. Listen to the text. He says, "As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and put them into practice, I will show you that they are like what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock." When he didn't say rocks, but rock, because he's talking about a rock.
And that rock is Jesus, my friends. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. Here Jesus talks about how every foundation is tested in order to validate its durability. When a house is built, the foundation is tested to be sure that when the walls are put up, the foundation is going to be able to hold up the walls. And so Jesus is saying that as we become attached to our faith, we need to look at what brings us, what establishes us, what keeps us in our faith. And what keeps us in our faith, my friends, this morning, is this rock that never fails, this rock that can never be broken, this rock, and the rock is Jesus Christ. If you fall on him, you'll get hurt. If he falls on you, you're going to get hurt. The only thing we can do is to lean on him and trust in him and rest in him. And that's all that the church has been called to do. He makes this complete case this morning. Here Jesus talks about how durable this rock is. From a spiritual look, he says, we have a spiritual foundation which has been tested and is found worthy. And so on that old rugged cross, Jesus faced the greatest test that any person could ever go through, and the greatest enemy of life, which is death. Death, my friends. We could not see past death. And it's the reason why the disciples went back to doing what they were doing, because they couldn't see past death. And Jesus conquered death on the cross of Calvary. Because on that third morning, my friends, listen, Jesus Christ, death could not hold him captive. Even the grave could not hold him. The grave began to tremble and said, "What manner of man is this?" He came back to life, and not just come back to life, but he is alive forevermore. And it's upon this foundation that we establish our faith as one people united in Christ. So we can now see that our foundation is firm, that the bedrock doctrine of our faith is true. Christianity lives and stands as the only valid means whereby man can reach to God. And we read in the second reading this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. When you plant a tree and the tree begins to bloom, and when the first fruit comes out, it brings such a joy and hope to you that this tree is alive and has the ability to bear fruit. God planted a tree in our world, and this tree is Jesus Christ. And the first fruit from that tree is Jesus Christ. He is alive, my friends. And when we look at this fruit that has been brought forth from the dead, it brings life to all of us in this room. Even though the body fades and we find ourselves aging, and every time we look in the mirror, we see the changes that's coming on us because of sin. Because we live in an environment that has been infested by sin. And because of that, there is no way that this body can be exempted from the punishment of sin. And because of that, the body fades. And we go through these stages and phases in life. And at the final end, we die and we are placed in the tomb. But my friends, for those who have established their faith in Jesus Christ, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to worry about, because why? Our faith is established in the first fruit of our resurrection, and his name is Jesus Christ. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead to life, we would have had no faith. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 14 and 16, it reads, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. But then, more than that," he says, "we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if In fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. So what Paul is saying is this: if we have no foundation, then it will be obvious that we have no faith. There is no faith because our faith is like a wall that is built on a foundation. And if the foundation is not there, then you have nothing to establish your faith on. Everything we see and believe is held together by this one foundation, Christ, our solid rock. If Jesus had remained dead, then all the sermons that have been preached, all of the books that have been written, all of the hopes of tomorrow will be considered just as dead. But my friends, today he is alive. We have a firm faith. In 1 Corinthians 15:20, again it reads, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep." Pay close attention to the word indeed in that text. Indeed is talking about certainty. Indeed is talking about undeniably. Indeed is talking about actually, that this is a real thing. This is not just another story that has been written in the storybook. My friends, this is real. That once upon a time, there was a man named Jesus who lived on the earth, who was punished, who died on the treacherous cross, who was placed in the tomb. And truly indeed, after 3 days, this man came back to life. This is real. This is real. And this is what the church is about, my friends. This is what our hope in Jesus is all about. So you pay close attention to that word, indeed. Because in Scripture, faith is defined in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. The question this morning to all of us here is, on what is the confidence of your hope built? On what is the confidence of your hope built? I have spoken to many Christians who would tell me things like, "You know, I used to be in church, but somebody ticked me off and I walked away. And since then, I haven't been back. You know, I used to be in church, and there was this deacon that I always used to admire, or elder, or pastor. Well, he fell away from grace when he did this and this and this, and I walked away and never went back." The question to you this morning, on what is your hope or faith established? Because we miss the mark in our walk with God, and we miss it when we take our eyes and set it on people. The scripture says that we must focus on Jesus Christ. All right, looking on to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Not no deacon, not no pastor, not a member in the church, but focusing on Jesus. My friends, this morning, as I close this Easter message, I want to let you know that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest theme, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. It's where my faith is. In conclusion of this morning's sermon, if anybody asks you why you celebrate, you can tell them very simplistically, my forgiveness has been accomplished and my future is secured. I pray that these words from God this morning will encourage your hearts and keep you steadfast in your faith, knowing always that God will never bring you this far and leave you. God will never teach you to swim and let you drown. God will not build his home in you and move away. He will never lift you up and let you down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say,